Well, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us, even with this nice weather outside. I see a couple of you have joined us. So the talk about this afternoon, what we're going to talk about this afternoon is linked from a developer's perspective. First, I'm going to introduce myself. I am Mike Martin. I work for Crosspoint Solutions, mainly as a lead consultant Microsoft area and as an architect, also as technical pre-sales. But most of all, I'm a Microsoft enthusiast, so I'm happy to be here on the invitation of Catherine, so thanks again. In my spare time, I'm also a proud Azure crew member, so for that sake, if you have an interest in Azure, please join us in one of our following events, if I take the liberty to make some commercial time for this part. And for those who are interested in my daily jabble, you can follow me on Twitter with my handle techmike2kx. So for those who do know me, sorry you have to sit this one out, but I'm pleased that you're following this session. Now, let's get started. What is Link? Link is a part of the solution that Microsoft has for unified communication, and it actually integrates things like voice, instant messaging, emailing, and conferencing, so things like web conferencing and stuff like that. You know, instant messaging is a little bit like MSN or Live Messenger. Voice is especially voice over IP and things like that. For those who don't know Link, I'll give you a small demo on that. If I share my desktop. Okay. So this is the Link interface. This is the Link interface. A client interface, and as you can see, you have a contact list, you have your status with your presence, on which you can set available, busy, do not disturb. You can have a notification area on what you're working on for that moment, all your contacts, which you can contact on one way or another. If I can, for instance, say hi to Catherine, I can instant message her here, and then hopefully she will reply if she's happy to. Apparently she is. So from here out you can start initiate video conferencing and video calling, just like in a little bit like you know in Skype, or you can have just plain old voice calls. Now the difference with an MSN or a Skype is that this really runs on an infrastructure that is run by IT. And it depends, it exists out of a couple of parts. You have a Link server, you got an entire topology that's behind it, and we can elaborate and we can elevate all these technologies to work with and develop custom applications. And this is what we're going to talk about this afternoon. Really a fun product to use. It's, in my humble opinion, it's a better tooling than the communicator, of course, the Office 2007 series, because everything is much more balanced now, the presence is a little bit more balanced, and as you can have the better integration with the rest of the Office products, like in Outlook, it's a very nice product. So I'm just going to close this. Back to the slide deck. So you see a little lag, perhaps, or I'm the only one who's seeing a little lag between my slides. So that's a little overview on what Link is. Now, for you developers out there, there's a lot in the package for you guys. Of course, the tools that you're going to use is Visual Studio, especially with WPF and Silverlight. So for those who know Silverlight and for those who know WPF, it's a happy time. But you can't use Visual Studio alone. For that, you need, for really developing for Link, you need the Link SDK, which is freely downloadable, and you need the UCMA 3.0 API, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. So we get actually two parts, which is a client part development, which is a Link SDK, and the UCMA, the Unified Communications Managed API stack, is the server-side development. So what's in the Link SDK? Actually, you get four different types of scenarios. Yeah? You get the integrated experience, the contextual experience, the extended experience, and the custom experience. And the difference between those is that the integrated experience is that you can integrate the controls that they have created into your own applications without leaving the application to use Link. The contextual is that you extend the Link interface and add extra applications to that. The extended experience is that you're going to extend really Link without with other applications. So the difference between the contextual and the extended is actually more than that. The contextual, you will pass data through from one client to another, whether with the extended is that you open extra applications. Yeah. And then for the custom experience is that you're going to start building your own environment. For the first part, the integrated experience is the most easy part. You get an SDK which has a lot of controls out of the box for WPF and Silverlight. As you can see, and you can divide them into three different types of controls. You get the interaction controls, you get the contact-related controls, and you get the me controls. Now the me is a little bit self-centric control, but it's everything that has to do with yourself in Link. The interaction is everything that you can do with other people, like sending an email to those, or sending a file, or sharing your desktop. All the things that you can activate from within Link. Contact related is actually everything that has to do with your contacts in your contact list, or adding extra contacts, or having presence of those contacts. I'm going to give you a little demo on the integrated experience. Share my desktop again. If I'm going too fast, please. Right. So I'm going to open, I already opened the Visual Studio, and I'm going to build a Link interface in a small few steps, just out of the box. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start myself a new application, new project. I'm going to open a Windows application, and I'm going to make it a Link WPF application. So after you install the SDK, you actually get a couple of templates for creating your Link applications. One of them is located in the Windows templating section, and the other one is located in the Silverlight templating section, as you can see here. So for the WPF application, I'm just going to open it. Double-click it. And immediately it generates me a blank solution with one command on there. If we run that, you actually see that there's not much to it, that you just see a presence indicator. It starts running. Give it a few seconds. So as you can see here, the only thing you see is a contact card, an empty contact card, which immediately empty presence indicator, which immediately pops up a contact card when you hover over it. Yeah. If I now make it a little bit more pretty, I'm gonna make my screen a little bit bigger. I'm gonna move this one. Move this one a little bit over here. I'm going to add some tools from the box. I'm going to add my status area. Here I'm going to add one of my favorite contacts, which is and I'm gonna add my entire contact list to that. Just underneath. Make it a little bit bigger. If I now press F5, you'll see something totally different. You see immediately that the presence of Catherine de Graaf has been uploaded. that it's connected, and that my entire status is there. If I now do this, we are on. And if I open my link client, you can see immediately that if I check out, you see immediately that this changed. This immediately implies that the client is a very important part there, because if you're developing with the SDK, you always need the client installed on your machine. It has a dependency on that, and we can see later on that you don't always have to show the client to the desktop. That's when the custom applications come by. But nevertheless, you still have a dependency. Is it avoidable? Yes, but then you have to do some magic tricks, and that is more on the server side. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So as you can see, everything here is very usable. I can immediately open up my groups, my contact list, and you see everything is immediately there. So in like 60 seconds flat, you can make your own link clients. No worries there. Yeah. The binding, you can do some binding on that. You can have retemplating of the controls if you want to. So if you know some Silverlight, you can retemplate them. All very possible. I'm switching back to my presentation. So the advantages here are immediately visible, is that you can easily integrate controls which are available at your disposal, at your use. Sorry. Very lightweight, easily implementable, you can pass things to it. But caveat is that you still need a client, and it still has client interaction, because if I run that application again, I forgot to show that, but if I run that application again, it's still running? No. And if I send an IAM here, it immediately opens a window from within my link client. So you always need a client if you're using the controls. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, for contextual, and this is where most of the magic happens, is that you can have other applications accessed from inside Link. And the fun part is that you can integrate it like that. If you have your custom applications, you can integrate them inside Link. Most of the time you see these things when you want to pass data from one contact to another. One of the funniest and most useful ones I saw, but I didn't get it to work because I really wanted to demonstrate it, is a contextual experience from within Visual Studio. I can show you the integration part, but it doesn't seem to work somewhere, and I didn't got time to debug it. But if I, for instance, have some code here, oh yeah, I'm a little bit too fast because I forgot to share my desktop, sorry about that. If I go into my Visual Studio and if I share some code here, you see immediately this little C hovering. I don't know where you can see that, Catherine. See a little C here hovering. Yeah. This is actually a control that has been brought to life when you select text and you want to share your code for code reviewing. And it's something actually the Link team uses within Microsoft Redmond. So it was built by a Dutch guy called André Kooijman, which is one of the leads in the development area and in the SDK for Link. You should look him up, you should bing him his name, and you should look him up, because he's a real good reference for everything you want to do with Link development. And if I press on the C, you can immediately see that this, I want to share this code, but it ain't going to work with Katrien. And if I press there, you immediately see the integration. Let me make this a little bit bigger. You immediately see the integration with Link, and of course also my Outlook, because my Outlook contacts are immediately also triggered as a contact source. So from that way, if I can have, I don't know, if I now double click one of those persons, yeah, can try. But it's I deinstalled it. If I double click on one of those persons, a contextual window will open and I can immediately see the code and you can make changes and they make changes and they immediately say, oh, there's the bug. So it's a real nice application, but unfortunately it isn't working for me. But I think it has something to do with something I need to dig into a little bit deeper. But I can show you another one which is working, and that is this one. If Katrine is willing to cooperate for a second with me, one more time, I'm gonna open up another window with her. And let's say, for instance, in this way you can download also from the link SDK site, is when I want to talk to her, but for instance, say I'm Chinese and she's Dutch and we have a language issue, I can make use of the, oh no, I can try it again. Is Bing blocked here? Bing Translator blocked here? I didn't check that. No. I'm gonna check something first. No. Nope, sorry. Content, connections, settings. It automatically detects, so this my settings for interest are okay. Yeah. Normally, normally the Bing translator would have kicked in and I would have been able to immediately send my translated. It's funny that it doesn't work. Should immediately have been able to translate my text and send it over to Katrine. So that way you can have a contextual conversation. So you would be typing in here instead of in here, and it would immediately be posted over there. I can show you the code though if I open another solution. I open this one because there's a model which is downloadable. I'll show you the. Available code. What you need to do is to create a Silverlight application which will be hosted inside the application. Yeah. And then you need to reference the model. So there's actually a couple of references that you need to put, and they're all in the namespace Microsoft.link. There's actually four, .model, .utilities, .controls, I'll show them. So controls and controls framework. Yeah. So those are the ones that you need to start developing. So they come with the SDK. And if we take a look here, you see that you had a conversation service. This would be the translation service which was built upon the translator API from Bing. But you can have any other external available website. You can even host it on Azure if you want to, and which you will integrate. And what you need to do is, if you go to the conversation, so when the control loads, you first need to get the conversation itself. Yeah. If there's no conversation, you will start. You will obtain the first active conversation from within that conversation. Yeah. So this is the interaction with the client, and this is where you exchange the context. So this is where it picks up the conversation. And then you go to the, we start sending, there's some code here for sending the translated messages. And if you take a look here, prof send, where is it? Do a send message. Go to the definition of that. So there's a message context with the translated message, which is just a string passed. And if we take a look at the context here, so the message context is actually also something which was written for this sample and which uses everything of the namespace from the where's my code? which uses everything from the APIs which are available from the model. So you need, the first thing you need to do is get the hosting conversation in which you hook into the conversation, and then you start from there on to develop. There are some, so we had that. There are some things that you need to keep in mind though. So what it actually does is it loads Silverlight, so you can host it on any web server or if you want to, even on Azure if you want to. The fun part is when you start installing it, because you need to register it in the registry in a GUID. So every time you create a new application, a contextual application, you need to foresee a GUID. So you create a GUID with the tools within Visual Studio, and then you register it in the current user software Microsoft communicator content packages key, and I'll show you where that, what it looks like. Open and regate it. Yes. Go to software, Microsoft communicator. And there you have the content packages. And these are all the packages that are installed for your application. And for instance, a conversation translator goes to the external URL go.microsoft.com link ID, so it's actually a shortened URL. You can, for instance, this one, which launches a service from inside. This one uses a web page for a mini proposal tracker, which I'll demonstrate in a second. So you need to create a key, have a name for your conversation, and put in the URL that you need in the application part. Yeah. And that way you can start passing your application from the contextual part. Now the extended experience is a little bit different from the contextual experience. Actually, what you want to do is you want to have quick access from within your link environment, and you want to have extra applications called from there out. So not within a conversation, but more like I want the quick access to, let's say, Visual Studio or something that you need quickly. Most of the time, this will be used in combination with UCMA. In that case, that we, what I've seen a lot is that people start developing SMS extenders or something for sending SMS towards your contact list. If they have a cell phone built in their contact list info. How does that work? Actually, you need again to... I'm going to show you my link. And if I... I don't need to show my link. I need to go to my desktop. Sorry. Close this one. And I go to my demos, part 2, part 3. You need also, again, you need to edit something in the registry. And this is really fun, because you need to have the entire tree of where you're going to send it to. Now for this part, I'm going to just add Notepad to my link client and open it from within the contact card menu. So I'm going to register that. So if I now open this and I, sorry, if I now do this for instance, you won't see an extra menu here. So this is where it's going to show up. What I need to do now is I'm going to register this. Yeah. Okay. So it added the key. Unfortunately, I need to reboot my my link client because it accesses the registry. So I'm going to exit it. I'm going to restart it. Just give it a second to kick in. And what you'll see now is that from the contact card menu, you can easily start opening up Notepad. Takes a while to sign in. If it kicks in, I'm willing to show you, but it takes a while on this network, apparently. Maybe it's because I'm calling outside some blocked services or something. Yeah, there it is. Should be coming, should be coming, should be coming. Come on, demo gods, please work with me. Yeah, this is the annoying part when you want to demo something that needs to be online, you need the network. All right, there we are. So if I now open again the contact card, I wait until Catherine, and I open this one, you can see immediately that the open Notepad has arrived, and I just easily open Notepad. And then again, it kicks in a conversation also. So something you can do easily. So if you, for instance, write custom code for extending your link environment on server side, you can call them from here out. So, back to the presentation. So as you've seen again, it's a registry hack, and it's on two different spots per client, actually. If you have the 32-bit environment, you need to register it in the local machine software stack. If you have the 64-bit client, you need to hook it up in the WOW6432 node, because apparently they have a different hooking there. You can add extra things like where the application is installed, yeah, the application install part. You can have the extensible menu. It's really fun doing that, but you can easily lose your way. You can easily lose track of where you are. Because what you need to do is every tree, every child that you're adding is actually a separation with a semicolon. So what you see here is actually it's going pretty deep from main window action to main window right click, the conversation window action, and then from within the conversation window right click you go to the contact card menu. So that's actually a few levels deep. If you have it really much deeper, you can easily lose track there. You can add a tooltip, so if you hover over it you can add a tooltip, and you can add a lot more. I would advise you to take a look on the MSDN side, where it's pretty well explained on how it is working. There's a good explanation there. You can see a lot of good examples on how to implement it and how to leverage the treeing. Yeah. So there's some advantages. There's no UI twitching, so that's a good thing. You don't need to start fiddling around with the link UI and just do it from within the registry. Unfortunately, it can be very confusing if you lose your way. Yeah. Now, for the custom experience, and this is something you see a lot when you're talking about kiosk applications, if you don't want to give full access to your link client, is when you want to have the suppression of your UI. I'm sorry. It has a fully managed API, so you can actually do whatever you want you're doing in Link. You can actually do achieve it by code, by plain coding. Yeah. And you can have it without the UI popping up every single time. I'm going to demonstrate you a little bit of code here. If I go back to my demo, and I'm going to have the fun part here, I'm going to change my contact information through a custom interface. for starters. It's a simple application, this one. If I run this, I'm gonna set my status, and I'm actually using the API now. I'm gonna set my availability. As you can see, it still changes. And I can start having a conversation. And here, this is not the API we're calling. You're calling again the UI. So this is the API, but this is not. Yeah. So there's a couple of things you can do. Here again, you can set your status, and you can have here, like for instance, the availability. You can check, you can set the availability by using the enumerator which is available from that. You can have exceptions, of course, the photo contact, and the photo of your contacts. Yeah. If we go a little bit more now in the UI suppression, which is more a custom built application. Now we really want to have that the application doesn't pop up. So I'm going to kill my link client. So that's completely finished. What I'm going to do now is just leverage a normal Windows application, so not a WPF application. I'm going to run this. Oh yeah. Okay. Well, sign out of version premium link. It's true. Okay. Just a second. That's reason why I forgot it. I need to first register, of course, the suppression. So you need to suppress the UI from within the registry. Let's try that again. That was what I wanted to achieve. So I'm gonna sign in with my own handle. Now you all know my password. It's *****. And I'm signing in into the link environment now. But as you can see, there's no UI running, because normally you see here in the start area, in the notification area, you see a communicator icon coming up here. It might take a while, because it took me a time with the link client also, so it should be the same latency. While we are doing that, we can take a look at the code perhaps a little bit. So we're using the model again, but with the suppressed UI. And when we are starting up, you can see that I'm immediately starting to get where there is a client, yes or no. So that's why it came up when it was not suppressed. And what we see here if the link process is not running, this exception will be thrown. And that's because it needs to be it can't fight among each other. So it's to avoid
possibility is that people will start using the link client instead of your application. Hopefully, yeah, there it is. So if I now start a conversation with Catherine, for instance. I'm lucky she's here, because also I would be doing this demo myself. I can immediately have an audio conversation or a video conversation. I don't know what this will do. And normally, Catherine will be seeing a pop-up of me. I'm gonna stop this. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. It's forgot that we have speakers here, so that could be. But as you can see, you can immediately have a lot of interfacing. You can add extra people to the conversation. You can have, like for instance, a web conference, and you can start from here. So you can, without using the real client, you can easily write your own interface on the link environment. Which is good for kiosk applications if you want a lockdown version of Link, like for instance on a reception desk, when you want people to be able to call the internal staff if they are arrived for their meeting, for instance, which would be a good suitable scenario. Yeah. So this, all this code is available to you through the Link SDK. It comes with the SDK, so it's some sample code. What you can do here is you can add conversations, you can remove conversations, and you can have you can force the application. You can force anything with the application that you want. Yeah? I advise you to take a deep look into that. There's a lot of it inside there. Almost every aspect is used. So it's a pretty application to look at. So once again, for the UI suppression, you have two locations to suppress your UI. It's on the, again, the local machine for either the Microsoft Communicator or either for the WOW64-bit node. So UI suppression modes, the word 1 is you suppress it, 0 is you make the client again available to your use, which reminds me that I still need to close mine. Well, having that said, so UI-less, you built your own, which is a good thing if you want to, you know, have your own environment. But every single thing that you need, that you want to do, you need to do now for yourself. So every event handler, every operation that Link is capable of, you need to write yourself. So that's a caveat. Yeah. And it's for everyone on that machine. It's not current user only, it's for the total machine. So if you have people logging in and they want to use it for linking up, well, then you're in a bit of bad luck, because they won't be able to use Link for that matter. Yeah. So it disables automation and the link controls. Then, so that's for the client part. If we take a look at the server part, which is a little bit more complex, we have a whole stack available. Yeah, and what it actually is, it's just .NET API, and this is what most developers hopefully know. And mostly it's scenario based, meaning that you have for every single activity, you have a scenario. Like for instance, EM routing, IVR routing, things like that. It consists out of two parts, actually, a core SDK and a workflow SDK, in which the WF SDK is an extension on the core SDK for easily accessing the workflows that are generated through call routing. And you, of course, need a runtime for that matter. The core SDK is exactly what we're going to talk about, because we don't have much time left. And what is in it for you is that you can have, like for instance, alerts, notifications. I actually seen a scenario where they used Link to monitor system environments, and they when they have an error or an event viewer error, they have a notification my link, my bot, which sends out a notification towards it, towards the engineers. You can enable other platforms and devices, like for instance you can with UCMA, Unified Communication, Unified Communications Managed API, you can make sure that your the services that you can expose them to the outside through WCF or anything like that. So for instance, if you want a service, if you create a service and you have a hook in Azure, you can actually call them for Azure so that people don't need to be on the inside to use that service. And most of the time you use it for controlling the backend, yeah, because it's mostly on server side that you're going to use it. So common scenarios that I've already run over is you get some contact center scenarios, like for instance a call comes in on the PABX and the link sends it to the first available free contact center employee. This can be done by routing, for instance, if you get you know, where when you call a contact center and you need to press 1 for Dutch and you need to press 2 for what kind of ticket you have, that can be managed by those kind of scenarios. Also for chatting, it's a good scenario, and there's a hook for chat. There's also a chat SDK especially for that. For standalone IVR applications, could be for having attendee music when you're having the when you're having a call with somebody, you need to put them on hold. A voice companion, some alerting, as I explained already, and bots. If you want, for instance, an automated IM situation. What can you do? It has enterprise voice support. Yeah, you can manage your bandwidth of your voice. You can use voice XML for AVRing. Yeah, you can have call parks if you want to park every call that you have. User authentication through PSTN. These are all very, very technical infrastructure things, so people who do not who are not can't find the words, who are not familiar with that, sorry, who are not familiar with that, I would say if you need to start developing for that, please contact your infrastructure guys first to have a chat a little bit on what they want and what they need. But most of the time we are developing it, but they're maintaining it, and they are more aware of all these acronyms and all these technologies than we are, and than developers are. Yeah. You can also use it to have conferencing and chatting. There's a large set of APIs available for the conferencing part. Presence, there's a special API for the presence, so everything what has to do with your availability online. There's a nice downloadable demo from Orbit One, who exposed their link service towards a web service. And you can download it and install it on your own premises and see where it works. To have your presence on the internet. So if you want to expose all your personnel and have a little chat with them, I would advise you to take a look at that there. And there's plenty more in the entire SDK. There's lots and lots more where that came from. So, let's talk about the architecture of the UCMA API stack. So what you need is you need the link server infrastructure, which is highly dependable on that, of course. You have the UCMA uses the SIP layer in the media stack, so the multipoint controller units. In order to have the communication streamlined
So this is where it picks in on the on those layers. So SIP is for the session initiation protocol. It's an RFC-based communication protocol to enable communications with several devices. NMCU is actually what you use for web conferencing and things like that. This is the media stack for video, voice, and all these availabilities. You have the above that you have the core API, which you can elaborate, and on top of that you have the workflow API, which you can use. Next to that, you can still make use of the Microsoft Speech Engine and the accompanying UCMA Speech Survey API, which also callable. And not to forget, what would an architecture like that be without the voice XML to generate your IVR scenarios. So I'm going to do one more demo for having a complete scenario, which has the capability of having a bot, which has been created through on the server side, and some chatting interface on a website. So what I did here is, in my link client, I added a couple of bots which are available on gotuc.net, which is a sandbox environment made available by the link team, on where you can chat with bots that they created on server side. So what I can do here is I can say, "Hi there," and this bot will answer me. And you see immediately that this goes into a state of busy, and they are so polite to answer me in a very polite way. Now the thing here is that I can give some commands there. So like, for instance, I want to know what the clients are doing. Yes, we have a strong relationship with our clients. So these are actually just some commands that we're giving, and they're programmed to give us feedback. Yeah? If I can say results, answers me with, "Sorry, I didn't get that." I say results again. I thought it was result. Okay. There's a couple of more things that you can send over. Schedule, budget, and clients. Right. So if we want to know what our schedule is, we can see, yes, we're on track. So it's very politely developed. In the meanwhile, you can also have an overview on what is hosted on their website for from statistics that they have on their sales, on their proposals. The website itself is even hosting the controls as provided with the Link SDK, and as you can see, if I'm now hovering over the Adriana Georgina, Giorgio, sorry. That's the person I'm talking to, and you see here that their presence is busy, and it's also custom controlled. So, and I can immediately have here my contact list available also, so I can interact from with everything here. Even my status is there, yeah, and I can easily share things between those. Yeah. And unfortunately, the internet is blocking the contextual part, but everything has been run here through the UCMA API for the chatting part and for the connectivity part. So it's just exposed to the outside. I'm gonna say goodbye to this person. That way they go back to the status screen, and you see here the same status on the web page, so this is available for the next customer. Okay. We can go back. Well, so is that the only thing that you can use advantage of? No, you, as I said before, you can, if you are a little bit handy in craftsmanship with your coding, you can expose those services to Azure. You can host them on there,
But unfortunately, you always need a link server available, so you can't do it immediately on the Azure environment. So you always need an exposure, so you can use Service Bus or whatever you want to, but you can't do it directly. What you can always try is to have your own VM role, but I think that will be a very expensive expensive toy then. Of course, you can still use the O365 interfacing, because Link is not only an on-premise thing, but it's also an online thing. So Office 365 also has a Link offering, which isn't expanded as much expanded as the on-premise offering, because you can't have things like Enterprise Voice. This has more to do with the PSTN integration and things like that. Perhaps you can expose some services to your Windows Phone and have some chatting interface. Now, today there's already a Link client for your Windows Phone, which is a very easy to use client. It's freely available for downloading, so if you already have a Link client, install it on your Windows Phone. But if you use the UCMA API, you expose that service and you use it together with the cloud Azure story, you can have your own custom interface, like for instance a help desk application or something like that. So this is again the little bit what you can do, what you can't do with the Link Online and Link Server thing. So the Enterprise Voice is not available. You do have Voice over IP, but it's not the same as in the on-premise environment. So, as a conclusion of this little talk, some takeaways, so not Chinese, just some nice tips. The client SDK, you have lots of possibilities there. It integrates, you can contextualize, you can extend your Link environment, and you can build your custom applications on top of Link. Yeah, but don't forget that you need to suppress the UI, because it always uses the client, the Link client. A question that we can ask, and that people are probably going to ask, what will the future bring? Probably Link 2012. If we have a look at the roadmap, which is coming, Windows 8 is coming, and most of the time Microsoft delivers an extra Office, so I think there will be an extra Link client there somewhere too, a metrified look and feel. So that would be nice. But I can't tell you anything there, so could be that perhaps they're going another way, I don't know. Yeah. For the UCMA part, it's a powerful server-side integration. You have the entire environment to yourself, so you can do whatever you want there. But leave the installations to the IT pro guys, because it's something that can get really ugly. And that's apparently a slide that I forgot to show you. Was lost somewhere in the slide deck, but if you take a look at the topology, you need to take in mind that installing an application on UCMA, you need to have an extra application server registered in your topology, and that's not something that you want to do as a developer. You really need guidance of the engineers who are maintaining your Link environment, because if you do it badly, you can break your entire environment. That having said, there's only one more thing to show you, and that's all the resources that are available. So you get the link here for the Link SDK, the link to the UCMA 3.0 API SDK. There's a extensible and a very large Link training kit available for your download for both Link on-premise and O365, so it goes a little bit beyond Link only, so also for Exchange. I would advise you to download that, take a look at the samples, at the labs which are included, very nice samples there. And I, as an Azure crew member, I also advise you to take a look at Windows Azure to have more cloud power, and also the Office 365 environment for a trial, or the extra information that you need on Office 365 development, if you're willing to do that. As an extra, there's also a sandbox environment you can use, made available for you by Microsoft, which is to be found at gotuc.net. There's also some demo applications, which I showed you the proposal tracker.